We come tonight to Genesis chapter number 50, the closing chapter of the first book of the Bible, and a lesson number 12 in our study on the life of Joseph. This particular lesson is entitled, When Dad Dies. And of course, we're dealing this week with the death of Joseph's father, the man known as Jacob. God changes his name to Israel, and this is quite a story. Let's backtrack for just a moment. If you back up to Genesis chapter number 48, you'll see here the lesson that we had on the last Lord's Day, beginning in verse number 21, where Israel, or Jacob, says to Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Jacob is a very sick man. Joseph is kneeling at his bedside in Genesis chapter 48. That was last week. And Jacob makes Joseph promise to do one thing. He says, When I die, I want you to promise me that you won't leave me here in Egypt. Promise me that you'll carry my bones back to the land of my fathers and bury me next to Abraham and Isaac. And Joseph promises his daddy that he'll do that. In the next chapter, Genesis chapter 49, Jacob, on his deathbed now, brings all the sons around, and he gives a prophecy concerning each of them. Of course, we know these 12 boys are going to become the leaders of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And his prophecy, by the way, inspired of God, does come true. He gives a blessing, as we found out last week, to Judah, and a double portion to Joseph through his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Jacob is nearing the end now, and in his blessing publicly, he reiterates his request to Joseph, and that was, please don't leave my body here in Egypt, carry it back to the homeland. And with that story in mind, we pick up our reading in chapter 49 and verse number 33, where the Bible says, And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, and yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. Chapter 50 and verse 1. And Joseph fell upon his father's face, and wept upon him, and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, so were fulfilled the days of those which were embalmed, and the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. That's 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die. In my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And in your study, take the time to meditate on verse 7 and verse 8. This is quite a funeral procession. It's not a small thing. In fact, it's something that gets much attention. People take notice. Look at verse 9. There went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with a field for possession of a burying place of Ephraim the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. The entire story of the life of Joseph is a tender one. But when you come to the closing scenes of his life, it seems to get even more tender. This is the death of his father. This is the day when Dad dies. We remember that God was gracious to Jacob and to Joseph and gave them 17 years together. It's a precious time of reconciliation, of catching up, of fellowship. And now that time comes to a close. Any time a loved one dies, it's a momentous occasion in anyone's life. It makes an impression on you. In fact, death as a whole, when it becomes a reality in your life and in your family, grabs your attention. It impresses certain things on your life. And none of us like the thought of death. Frankly, I want to live as long as I possibly can. I want my loved ones to live as long as they possibly can. I'm grateful my father's still living. But I know if Jesus tarries his coming, there'll come a day when my own dad will die. And other loved ones will go to be with the Lord. I'm not looking forward to the death, but there are lessons that can be learned from these deaths. Our society, especially in America, is consumed with living longer. And in the last couple of generations, the average time of death has increased about 20 or 25 years, which is an amazing thing. But nobody's going to live forever. Death is a reality. Mr. Spurgeon said that the way to make the most of your life is to contemplate your death. I think that's what Moses, the man of God, said in Psalm 90 when he said, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." There's something about thinking about your death that makes a difference in the way you live your life. Someone once said, "No man is prepared to live until he's first prepared to die." I think that's true. We teach this lesson, of course, to teenagers and single adults and young people right up through the senior saints. Perhaps the most difficult group to teach this lesson to are younger people, because no young person wants to think about death. They think it's so far away. But death is a reality to all people. And there are three great lessons from this story about the death of Jacob. Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, we find in this lesson the coming of death to all of us. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27 says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. All of us have an appointment with death. Why are we all certain that death is going to come? I say certain. We should say it's a possibility. Pastor reminds us of that from time to time. The second coming of Christ is the certainty. But if Jesus tarries his coming, we'll all go by the way of death. How do we know that? Why is that true? Because in Genesis chapter number 3, after the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, God said that you're made of the dust, and unto dust you shall return. Death is a result of sin. And so because we're sinners, and we all are, then death is a reality in our lives. You may live to be an old man or an old woman. That's a wonderful thing. In reality, Jacob lived a long life. He was 147 years old when he died. I'd say that's pretty long, at least by today's standards. You may live a very noble life. Jacob's life, of course, was changed. He went from trickster, conniver, deceiver, the man who schemed his way through to being Israel, a prince with God. God changed his life, and he had a very noble life. He's one of the great patriarchs of Scripture. But no matter how long you live or how noble your life, death is still a reality. It still comes to all people. And may God help us to so think of death in this Sunday school lesson that it helps us to realize that beyond death there is an eternity, and it pays to prepare. Life is so short. It's moving on. Years ago, as a child, I used to hear people say, the older you get, the faster it goes. And I used to think, I wonder how that's true. Now I'm starting at least to understand that. Life goes by so quickly. And at the end of this life, there is death that's coming to all people. The second lesson that we learn from this story is not only the coming of death to all people, but it is the conquering of death. And this is the encouraging part of the lesson. Frankly, death is not the comfort. Christ is the comfort. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who conquered death for us. Praise God, He conquered death for us. There are people all over the globe that are living in the bondage of fear. They don't want to talk about death. They're afraid of the thought of it. They don't want anybody to bring it up. It's a morbid thing to them. It should not be so for a believer. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I don't have to be afraid of death. You know why? You say, how can you say that? You've never done it before. You're not there yet. I don't have to be afraid of death because Jesus died for me. And this is the part of the lesson where we have the wonderful privilege of giving the gospel message again about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And that's powerful. The Lord Jesus said as he stood at the tomb of Lazarus, as he stood at a funeral, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's powerful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great gospel chapter, the great resurrection chapter, that God has taken away the sting of death. Pastor makes this point in the reading material. It's a wonderful illustration. The sting is gone. Death is like a bee flying around, buzzing all around you. And you hear about it, and you think about it. You don't want it to light on you. But you have nothing to fear, because when it does light, the stinger has already been taken out of that bee. Where did it go? The Lord Jesus Christ took that sting for us at Calvary. He died in our place. And because of that, I have eternal life. I'm going to live forever. And because I have eternal life, I can have abundant life. I can enjoy living my life right now because I don't have to worry about death. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I look back at chapter 49 for just a moment, verse number 33. Let me show you something. Mark the phrase, yielded up the ghost. That's what man sees. He yielded up the ghost. Then circle the little word and underline the second part, was gathered unto his people. That's what God sees. God says, just as surely as Jacob died, he went to be with his people. He went to heaven. There is the and for the believer. Pastor talks about living in this and. There is an and for the believer. And a good New Testament illustration of this is Lazarus. The Bible says that Lazarus also died. That's what man sees. And the very next part of the verse says, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. There is a real heaven. There is real life beyond the grave, beyond death. Death has been conquered. So we learn something about the coming of death to all of us. We learn something about the conquering of death. And then thirdly, very quickly, we learn something about the concern for the living. There's no doubt that Joseph treated his daddy the right way. And for 17 years, he showered him with love and gifts and blessings and tried to do everything he could to make him comfortable. Read the story for yourself. But as with all human beings, when dad was finally gone, there's no doubt in verse 1, when Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him, he was thinking, oh, I wish I could have just one more moment with him. I wish I could tell him one more time how much I love him, what he means to me. And this lesson makes all of us think about our lives. It's fleeting. It's going so quickly. There will come a day when we can't say what we want to say. We can't do what we want to do. The opportunity will have passed. The truth is, death does end it all. For a lost person, death ends all of his joy, all of his opportunity to be saved, every good thing he's ever known. For a saved person, death ends all of his pain, all of his misery, but it also ends every opportunity to do what God let him live to do. And when you start thinking about death, it makes you consider your own life. We should have a concern for the living. We should have a concern for our own life, to make our lives count. What is it that God wants you and I to do at this moment we've not yet done? And we keep saying, we're going to do that. Before I die, I want to do that. Do it now. You have no idea how long you're going to live. But even more than that, not just thinking about ourselves, but thinking about those around us. Who is it we need to make things right with, be reconciled to, make restoration to? God help us. Who is it we need to witness to that's lost? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them how much God loves them and how much we love them. Whatever it is like that that we need to do now. This lesson makes us think about the concern for the living. And may God in heaven take this lesson on death and not make it a morbid thing in our thinking, but instead make it something that will change the way we live our life every day as we think about this lesson on when Dad dies.